We're talking with Adam Daugherty, who's out of Tennessee, and Adam, you're here talking about some of the strategies that you've learned, some of the things you've learned about taking kind of that no-till system that a lot of farmers have up to that next level. Tell me a little bit about what your journey is in helping, you know, actually figure out how to do that.
Will do, and you're exactly right. I mean, we in Tennessee, we're a big no-till state, and we've been no-tilling for a long time. But what we realized 4 or 5 years ago, that even though we are controlling erosion, and from the landscape standpoint, these fields look like they're functioning at a high level, they are still not functioning. We're starving these systems of carbon. And what the missing link was for us to get these systems functioning to a higher level, the way they were designed to function, was to start implementing cover crop systems onto these fields. And we've started that through implementing high diversity cover crops where we're planting 8, 9, 10, 11 different things. Just like nature is, there's a lot of diversity in nature. So we're taking these fields and we're mimicking nature, and the results that we're seeing, the transformations we're seeing in these fields, which we expected, but the rate at which they're transforming is really what's surprising us.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, why you feel that this is the right way to approach a overall soil health strategy.
Okay. Well, the main reason is the sun drives all the energy coming from all of our farm system, looking at it as a whole, comes from the sun. And any time that you don't have a living plant on the soil surface, there's no way to receive that energy. So in my neck of the woods, where we're mainly in a corn, bean, some wheat rotation, where we plant in the spring, grow in the summer, harvest in the fall, and then we let these fields set bare or with nothing growing on them till the next planting season, we missed a huge opportunity to have a solar panel out there and capture solar energy. And from the solar energy, it's a transformation of that sunlight energy going through the plants through photosynthesis, and then all we're doing is feeding the biology the sugars that are leaked out through the root exudates. And the more food that you put into an ecosystem, the bigger the population that you build, the bigger the population that you can start maintaining. And all that biology in the long run, what it's going to do is let us look at more reductions in our inputs where we can be more economically viable in our farming operations.
Tell me about your multi-species or your cocktail of cover crops.
Okay. Main thing is we don't try to overcomplicate it, and we get strategic in designs based off what the field's showing us, based off what the cash crop's going to be. But mainly what we want to look at is a combination of some grass species, some legume species, and some brassicas. And we want to look at certain percentages, never 100% one species. And what we're really mainly concentrating on these mixed designs is not so much species composition, but looking at what kind of carbon nitrogen ratio we're going to be balancing in and what we're going to be using for the next cash crop. We want to be managing a different carbon nitrogen ratio cover crop if we're going into corn as opposed to soybeans. So all that comes into play. But we'll usually use some kind of mixture that'll contain at least some of the three common legume species. We'll have Austrian winter peas, hairy vetch, and crimson clover in a mixture with some grasses of cereal rye, triticale, oats, maybe even some wheat, and then a combination of some brassicas with rape or canola, daikon radish, phacelia, and we just kind of mix it all in there and manage it in the spring for our desired results.
And as you incorporate that back into the soil, what do you think you're gaining?
Well, we're gaining a lot of things. The first thing that's going to return to the farm is going to be the water cycle, and that's a big driving force. Is when it does rain and the water goes in the ground as designed to, that stimulates a lot of things. All the biology that's in the ground is a subaquatic ecosystem, so that means it likes to swim just as much as it does walk. So therefore, if we've got moisture in the soil, we're going to get more productivity out of our biology. We're seeing a big-time reduction in just inputs as far as controlling noxious weeds. It never was about cover crops or no-till. It still is not. It's about understanding how the system's designed to function. And no-till is a type of planting that's just a tool that we use for some of the soil health principles, as well as cover crops. They're just another tool that we're using. Mm-hmm. Infiltration benefits are tremendous, where we're going from 1 to 2 inches per hour when we start out to these fields in 2 years or exceeding 10 inch per hour infiltration rates. The total microbial biomass in these fields is basically kind of looking at a bug count in nanograms per gram, where we started out in the 2000 range. We've got fields bumping over 16,000 nanograms per gram of total biology in the soil, which that just means we got more workers to start cycling organic nutrients. And that's really what we're trying to do, is build this organic nutrient pool, but we can't cycle that without the biology. So it just comes into approach, and that's why I call it agroecology. Is it's not just agriculture no more, it's a combination. So we're farming, we're building our soil, and then the end result is we just get a good cash crop off of it.
I know you're talking to farmers around the country, not just here, but what kind of questions, what's the first thing that they kind of, give back to you as far as what's the dialogue with them?
Well, everybody wants to say it won't work in their neck of the woods. And my response to them is ask them if the sun shines where they farm. And as long as the sun shines, this system will work. And if the sun quits shining, we got bigger problems to worry about than growing a crop to start with. It will work. But what I do just exactly in Tennessee, I've got roughly about 70 producers in my county that are actively applying these systems. And one thing I learned is not only are we managing a diverse ecosystem, the social ecology amongst the farmers is very diverse as well. I have nobody that's doing any of this exactly the same. And that's just in one small geographic region. As I travel across the country and talk, what I do here, don't copy what I'm doing exactly in Tennessee, what my producers are doing. Understand the context and the principles, and then match it to your farm operation. You're going to have fields within your farm that are managed totally different. It's that diverse.
What would you expect to see as you start a system approach to this this concept, say 4 or 5 years down the road?
Within 4 or 5 years, you're going to be looking at significant input reduction, and nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, that's not the only inputs that we have on our farm. So reduce spray trips, where we're able to start controlling a lot of our weed pressure biologically, that's going to be one of the first things you're going to be looking at. If you're irrigating, you're going to be looking at less irrigation that you'll have to do because we're going to have more water holding capacity in the soil. Within 5 years, and that's really what we're starting to hit right now, we are starting to look at some pretty significant input reductions. Now, we can put less inputs on the field and just say we had an input reduction, but we want to still maintain our desired yield goals. And I think it's realistic in 5 or 6 years down the road to be looking at probably a 20-25% nitrogen reduction and still meeting yield goal. Phosphorus and potassium, where you've got fields that we're not applying any phosphorus potassium, and we're maintaining and slowly increasing on those levels through organic cycling of the nutrients.
Going back around what you said at the start, you talked about that we were kind of starving our fields, starving our farmland, just not enough organic matter, not enough carbon. Does this system really address that?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's designed to do. Our most limiting nutrient across the whole nation's carbon. And as I mentioned earlier, there is only one way to put carbon in a soil, and that's to absorb sunlight. And that's where the tool as a cover crop being implemented in the system allows us to capture more carbon. The reduction in tillage, where we don't oxidize as much carbon, lets us store more. So, you can't have a healthy ecosystem and have tillage involved in it. All tillage destroys the soil, both through a physical, chemical, and a biological aspect. But that's the main thing is building carbon. And, organic matter, if you think about that, that's the house, okay? So we can have a big house out there, but we may not have nothing but one can of sardines in the pantry. Okay, so what's even more important to me than focusing on our organic matter percentage, our house, is how much food we've got coming in the house. So through the cover crops, through the liquid carbon that we're producing, put it this way, where you may just be living in a small two-bedroom house, but granny's fixing you 3 squares a day. Okay, so we're really functioning, we're really doing good, getting big, and naturally through that food chain, that family is going to expand. Granny's going to feed you good enough that you're going to have, the family's going to grow, and eventually the house will get bigger and bigger. So then at the end point, we've got a big house with a fully stocked pantry full of a lot of workers.